Welcome to the Great Awakening Show. I am Joanne, Divine Life Yogini, and on this week's show, we have Rory Duff. Rory is a geologist and studies geobiology, the study of how the earth affects life. Rory is one of the leading pioneers in the world in understanding ley lines and earth energies and how their frequencies can be highly beneficial as well as harmful. Rory is dedicated to getting people gathered from all around the world at sacred sites through his sacred network, as he considers that group prayer and meditation is intimately linked with the evolution of human consciousness, and that these are the times of harmony when all of the earth energies move at the same frequency. For now, we have an opportunity that comes around only once every 12,000 years to raise the vibration of our world. Rory has created the highly successful documentary Holy Grail Found, and he has written the popular books Grail Found and Grail Bound. He coaches and teaches many people worldwide. Rory, thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you, Joanne. Thank you.
Wonderful. And what a time we are living in, Rory. Our audience, we really would love you to share your view on what this Great Awakening means for you and for us all that we are going through.
Well, that is a big question. And I think one of the things that we're discovering is that we haven't got all that information yet. Just what's going to happen this time is not going to be quite the same as last time. Our soul's journeys have progressed these last 12,000 years, and the circumstances of what was happening will also be subtly different energetically and physically as well this time. Perhaps what I can add is the scientific connection linked to the prophecies and what the need of what we must do to prepare. And we can perhaps look at some of the things that we can expect and in fact are expecting and finding already. So in that sense, it's very much something we have to connect with in order to get that greater information, in order how to prepare. And that's probably the big message right now in the awakening, is to make that connection and to move into that state of awareness from being in our conscious ego selves, being brain and mind centered, moving to being heart centered, for this whole process to really unfold. So if you want to drill down into any of those areas.
But that is so true. That's what I say. I believe it's the dissolvement of ego, you know, and more opening of the heart and coming from the heart, being our true self, being, you know, of ourself and giving of ourself. This is such an amazing time. You can see it. And of course, as that happens, we have to go through that, and it's purging a lot of and causing a lot of chaos in this world as that happens, isn't it?
So, yes. There's the inner purging, which you rightfully mentioned, but then there's an awful lot of people who are struggling to come to terms with the fact that they're thinking and feeling and seeing things around them, which is different from what they normally expected or have come to expect. And there's no one nearby who can explain just why they're sensing things so differently from before. So this awakening, if you like, is happening to us, but whether we're really, you know, in full compassment as to what's going on, that's where there can be problems. I mean, just to give you an example, the sort of things that I'm hearing about, and not just in isolated cases, are people like they're walking down the street and at some moment they're suddenly slipping into what's like a dream. But to them, that dream is like totally a different reality they're suddenly immersed in. And then they flip back out again and think, hang on, I've just seen And this is great people in the past have seen this. And Carl Jung actually talked about how he was walking down the street and suddenly a knight in charging armor on a horse rushed past him. And you think, well, this is a great man whose mind is, you have to imagine, is very much connected to and in control of. And yet we've got now a massive rise of mental ill health around the world. And the people trying to help those have no idea what to do. You know, medication's not the answer.
No.
But the beginnings of information is, and for me, the other thing is a problem shared is a problem halved.
Mm.
And it's like, if we bring people together in groups, this is where people recognize, actually, that's what I've been finding. Oh, that's what I've been getting. And then suddenly this ability to cope is turned on its head, if you like, to realize actually, now this is something positive that can be happening to us.
Yes.
And more importantly, we must look to the positive with this. So this is really where we're at right now, and trying to get that message out.
Yeah, and
but I'm sure you come across things like this too.
Yes, and there is so much confusion and hopelessness, because I believe that everyone, the whole world's going through a dark night of the soul. It's a real time of going within, of change, where everything in the outside is collapsing and changing, and a very, you know, uncomfortable time for so many people. And that is why I just find what you're doing with your sacred network is just beautiful. The earth, Mother Earth, is sacred. Please tell us, as you said before, people gathering together, this is what we need to do. Community, tribal, coming together again, as we did in the ancient times. Just tell us about the sacred network.
This came about, goodness, 10 years ago now, we've begun to realize the significance of being in certain locations in and around the world and the country, where, and then that arose, finding these locations arose when we looked at things called energy lines or ley lines and where they intersected. And we'd begun to find that the major intersections between the more powerful lines always seem to intersect at either ancient or more modern places of prayer or meditation. So you could find cathedrals like in Chartres on top of a major intersection that the Knights Templars knew about. But you could also find the ancient sites like Avebury also on places of energy line intersections. And it was for me as a geologist, I was just fascinated to understand why and what these energies were. And so the answer was to map them, find where these lines were and what they were doing. And that gradual process began to establish a link between these energies and vibrations, very, very low vibrations. And that was linked to the universal consciousness. And I won't go into that so much, because that's documented in videos and books that I have. But the relevance then moved on from having founding these locations to recognizing that there were certain times of the year when it was really more important to be on these locations than any other time. Especially the symmetrical nodes, where the energies at symmetrical nodes would certainly take on a sudden different shape 4 times a year. And from being a cylindrical shape, it would collapse into a double torus with a vortex. And they were like vortex rings.
Wow.
And at that point, with our own vortex rings and the vortex rings of the Earth, there was this potential for resonance to occur between ourselves and the Earth's energies and all the other the grid systems that connect up. And that led to this idea, well, we should gather on these harmony times. Back then, what was really weird was that we didn't understand why they were always one day before the solstices and the equinoxes.
Wow.
And it took a while before we become to know that the actual ancient holy days was always the day before the solstices and equinoxes. And it was the last day of the sun cycle. And the first day of the new cycle of the sun was always a day of celebration, which was the first day is the solstice. So the celebration days, you know, like the St. John's feast day, that would be when everyone would be happy. And of course, after the holy day, which would be fasting and prayer, you would celebrate. And of course, everyone remembered the celebration days. But they forgot why they were celebrating. And the holy days was when these formations, energetic formations, would occur. So we were already gathering in small numbers at sacred sites around the UK and a few other people around the world, and beginning to experience the group effect of when the difference between when an individual prays and meditates to when you move to working with groups. And this is the beginning of understanding how group meditation is a different form of meditation from working individually. And that begins to connect now with the prophecies of great people like Rudolf Steiner, that talks about how consciousness moves in cycles over large time spans, and he called them epochs. And we were moving from individual consciousness, which is the rise of the ego, which was really important, by the way, for exploration of ourselves and our environment. Yes. But we're now moving back into group consciousness. And so it's all about really moving into working with groups to explore just what that means. And then as we then progress, we found that the energies themselves started going through some major changes. And that's what kicked everything off in a big way, because suddenly what seemingly was quite stable, although energy is fairly dynamic, it would appear that we had more energies, the energy lines widened. The biggest emperor dragons, there were only three of them in 2017 at the biggest. They started appearing, new ones. And
can
we
you,
now
can
have
you
six.
Explain what that means when you just said, what did you say then about the dragon? What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, when we looked at these energy lines, they have different frequencies and they have a side-to-side movement. The rarer lines, the type four lines, which are more solar connected, had a 24-hour frequency. That's 12 hours one way, and they move 12 hours that way. They don't move on the nodes, but in between the nodes, they have this frequency. And there were a lot less of the numbers of them. For instance, there are only about 12 pairs of type four lines in the UK, whereas there's many thousands of type threes and twos and ones. But then you've got a much more powerful set of lines called the Emperor Dragons, the type five lines, and they have like 48-hour frequencies one way and the other way. And this is we discovered, we've just found three looking around the world. There were only three of these. And of course they intersected at really important sites like in Mount Kailash. Yep. And they found in 2017 three more appeared.
Wow.
So we had to think, well, what's driving this?
Mm.
What's causing them to occur? What's changed?
Mm.
And that led us into the whole concept of, well, it must be stemming from the inner core of the Earth, like the Earth's inner heart, which is expanding and contracting, beating, if you like a heart, sending out these waves of very low vibrations, which, you know, as Tessa also says, vibrations are the fundamental part of the universe, because vibrations create light, which creates matter. And the fundamental source of everything is universal consciousness, and so you've got this connection between very low vibrations and consciousness. So when we've suddenly got more vibrations displaying on the surface, there has to be something feeding the core. So what's getting through to the core that's causing these emanations pumping away? And that appeared to be the only thing that appeared to be linked to this was what was producing cosmic energy and neutrinos. And it became quite apparent that the solar system was moving towards something called the galactic current sheet. And this is pretty much something we now think is what happens to the solar system every 12,000
years. We go through the photon belt. Where is more light? Yeah,
I don't use the word photon belt.
No.
It may be, but the galactic current sheet is a mixture of plasma, cosmic energy, and dust.
Yes,
and we know about it. You have to forget relativity, by the way. That's just complete. That should have been shelved ages ago. It's more about plasma cosmology, and we're living in a more of an electric universe. But the sun also has a current sheet. And our Earth passes through it every 8 to 10 days. So if the sun has it, we're pretty sure that the galaxy that we're in, the active galactic nuclei in the center, also has this wavy currency. It's a bit like a dancer's or a ballerina's skirt that goes up and down. And the solar system passes through this every 12,000 years. And that means we get hit with this increasing cosmic energy.
Yes.
And if that in a way is light, yes.
Yes. So,
but that increase suddenly shone, it affects our magnetic field, by the way, as well. The plasma element is changing our magnetic field. Mm. And at the moment, the Earth's magnetic field is dropping rapidly. The North Pole and the South Pole are heading towards each other. And that means our protection's gone from cosmic energy. So with the greater cosmic energy, it's leading to more energy lines. They're getting wider and more powerful. Mm. And being on the surface here, we're getting more from above and from below.
And from below.
And from the sun as well. So it's a three-pronged attack. And we know that cosmic energy is mutational. The big evolutionary events in the past, you can see evidence for much greater cosmic energy. So we're going through an evolutionary event physically.
Mm.
But it's also, we're beginning to think now that it's switching on dormant genes. And that this is reactivating things like our feelings, like empathy, our telepathy, our ability to see in the future.
Yes.
And this would explain why people are seeing things they wouldn't normally see.
Yes.
Feeling empathy. You know, I mean,
yes,
we feel other people's pain. Some people, you know, if they see someone who's hungry, then they feel hungry themselves.
Yes.
That empathy is increasing. So, and of course, this is not a feeling you're used to, which is shocking people.
Yes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
And this divine, I call it, I'm a yogini, call it divine, I call it the divine love light energy of source, coming in, is raising our vibration. And it's, this really is forcing the darkness that has been in shadow for so long, within and without, to the surface, is it not? And so therefore it's playing out in this field, and all of this, it has to come out. The darkness is the light is sort of like purging it. And I just think this is such a time. Truth is being revealed. It's the time of revelation. You know, it's like we have to reveal that darkness outside of ourselves to rise, to ascend, as does the earth. As you know, it's unbelievable.
You're absolutely right. And yet there's a bit more, because not everyone seems to be able to rise to this challenge. It's sometimes perhaps not right for some people to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect it's to do with the numbers of times that our soul has passed through this experience. I think the ones that are awakening now have got some kind of past memory, and they've been through 12,000 years of karmic cycles, experiencing all the different zodiacal constellations and the different energies from each of those, and their soul is now able to perhaps prepare to evolve. And possibly there's groups of people now who are going through this for the first time, and their destiny maybe in a karmic way is to repeat a 12,000 year circle.
Yes, cycle, they won't ascend this time. They'll have to wait for the next 12,000 years to go through that again.
But the catch, if you like, here, which is rather strange, is that for us that going through this the second time,
yeah,
all right, we're not going to be able to do this and achieve this if we don't try and find ways of helping those people who can't. So there's an element of recognizing this heart-centeredness actually doesn't work unless you're emanating out help,
yes,
healing energy to others.
Yes.
So if you want to be, if you want to evolve, you've got to think, well, okay, well, what would you might be evolving into? Let's just suppose you wanted to become an angel. Well, you've got to start behaving like an angel.
Like an angel. You must be the angel.
Well, what do angels do? They give.
Yes.
And that's the kind of beginning to stepping stone. And they remain positive in amongst all the adversity, the calm amidst the storm, the love amidst the anger. So this is the lessons we have to sort of learn. But one of the great ways of receiving this is by coming together.
Yes.
And sharing that, because the group effect is seemingly so much more powerful.
Yes.
When you do that. And that's what fascinates me.
Is that because when we come together like that, our energies, we're all on that same evolutional, we're all in that same energy, and we can uplift. It's like it's contagious, isn't it? You know, when we come together, when two or more gathered together, it's powerful, isn't it?
It is. And yet there's still more, because there's a surrender to this. The energies, the symbol of energies throughout time have been dragons and serpents. And in the Gnostic Gospels, the Garden of Eden and the Tree of Knowledge, the Axis Mundi, the snake there was referred to as the instructor, the great teacher. The energy lines teach us. So gathering on the energies, surrendering to what we've been taught, also actually that surrender leads us to understanding what we need. And this is the time we're moving into now. And what I've heard it referred to by the likes of Steiner and Goethe and Jung is it's the abyss, the gulf between the worlds.
Wow.
And this is where our weakness is challenged. And this is where our individual needs must be met. So each of us are going through challenges.
Yes.
So that we can identify our weaknesses, so we know what we must do to overcome them. I mean, Jung went through this when he did his inner visualization exercises from 1913 to 1918. And these are the sort of things that we discuss on the Sacred Network groups. So we learn from the masters in the past. He met characters in his inner visualizations, like the spirit of the depths, the spirit of our times, the spirit and his soul. And he was challenged on his weaknesses. And Steiner talks about the same weaknesses as you cross the abyss, that the three beasts and how we have to tame them. Now, what I sense that this is a crossing. It's a bit like an incubatory journey from the land of the senses that Goethe talks about across to the land of the spirit. It's like a spiritual journey to the world of spirit. And this is what the great meditators and journeyers, the shamanic journeyers of the past, managed to do. I think what's happening with this move to this group consciousness and through all the prophecies is that, as you mentioned earlier, humanity is going through a dark night of the soul. I think this is the abyss humanity is crossing between the worlds. And as the worlds come together, as the veils come down, we are in the abyss. We are each individually being challenged, just as these journeyers are, to address our weaknesses so we become stronger. And are more prepared to evolve. And that's where I think the fascinating thing is this collective journey. And being a collective journey, we must come together. And at that point, we must say, well, where does this lead?
Mm.
And that's a fascinating question.
Yes.
Because we get glimpses of that in the prophecies, in the New Jerusalem, the golden age.
The new earth, the golden age.
The
golden age is so beautiful.
The heart-centeredness of this experience, which is interesting, because it is there for us if we take the path.
Yes.
And
this really is a time. This we're leading into unity consciousness and love awareness on this planet. And I think that all of that what is happening out there is just one big mirror to see the truth, to see the corruption, to see everything. And then to realize that us, we the people, we are coming together. We are the same. It's all one soul consciousness, is it not? We have our brothers and sisters around the world, and we're realizing that this planet is ours and we're the guardians of it. No one else.
Well, more than just this planet. I mean, this is the science that I've been linked with. An amazing gentleman called Ron Pearson came up with this new theory on the creation of the universe, and a theory of quantum gravity emerged. And he explained, it explained how intelligence must arise and go on to create all these different quantum worlds of existence. But he didn't need more than three dimensions. The absurdity of multi-universes and multiple dimensions is only because of the mayhem that is attached to relativity theory. So when you dismiss relativity theory because it's not needed, you're left with this wonderful concept of different matter frequency worlds all existing in the same area, and that our mind can tune in to any of these worlds.
Yes.
If we know that, and our heart. So when we're talking about our physical world, there are other physical worlds on different frequencies of matter.
Wow.
That are all with beings on all these worlds, our ancestors, the angels, even demons, elementals. There's this coming together of all these worlds. The veils between them are coming down. So, wow. You know, when you have this sudden image of a 12-foot giant walking down the street, that's a glimpse of the world that's going to be there as the vibrations and frequencies all merge. You're going to witness these things. And the fascinating thing here is that we're going to be in a mix with lots of people. And Steiner talks about the importance of moving to grow one's spiritual self,
yes,
which appears to be an ability to step apart from everything around you, being heart-centered so that you can help everyone around you.
Yes, to be of service.
And that's it, to be at the service of the numinous. Jung says we are tools of the numinous. We must learn through his path of individuation is to go down that route and become the servant, become the angel, if you like, to help those around.
Yes.
Because we're going to see it all. We're going to feel it all.
Yeah.
And if you can't be heart-centered, you're going to be feeling all the horrors,
yes,
and seeing all the things which are unfortunately a lot of people are going to be going through. But yes, the good news is that there is a huge number of people who are meditators, who are praying, and they are already separating out. And they do talk about the great separation in prophecies. And even Steiner talked about this great separation that's going to occur.
It's going to be a split, isn't it?
It's happening, and I think this is what's scaring the would-be the leaders of the world, who are getting ever more desperate at trying to control their populations, because control is really just fear and ego, and they're still left stranded in their fear and ego. So we must recognize that they too need help, because they're actually playing a part, strangely, by creating all this adversity in the world.
Yes, it's good, the adversity, it's good, the contrast, because it moves you. It moves you into evolving. It moves you to come out of that place, with your comfort zone, to, you know, take them challenges and to make that first step into your spiritual self, because this is what we're here for. And is it like this individuality and separation that they have, you know, perpetuated upon us through the programming for so many centuries? It's all about us now taking control of our own lives, coming to one with ourselves, and then coming to one with the larger family, isn't it?
Yeah, the two have to occur at the same time. Yes, I think the other good news here is, and the strange thing about this is, we're moving into emergence between all the worlds, and that's also merging time in a way, in as much as that increasingly it's harder and harder to plan the uncertainty is becoming greater and greater. Looking further into the future is becoming less and less possible. So what we're getting is we're moving into short-termism and even shorter termism. So eventually we're living in the now. And living in the now and reacting in the now in a positive way. What I talk about in my books in discussion groups is the synchronicity guiding us. Yeah. Because the synchronicity is what takes us through into the future, because we're following that path. We don't have to worry. As long as we get the signs and react to the signs, we can live in the now. And that's a very different way of living from when we used to 10, 15 years ago. I want to set out, I want to get this degree, and I want to go and do this job, and I want to go and live in this part of the country. Well, you can't do that now, because the time zones of all the different worlds are all being merged. So, you know, we're being forced, if you like, to accept and surrender to this uncertainty, because we're living in such incredible uncertain times.
Yes.
And that draws us to working more and more in the now. So it's teaching us to live in the now, which is a much more joyous position, if you can see that. So the whole thing is teaching us. And I find that fascinating. And that means that the planning ahead is pointless. Mm-hmm. We just have to trust the synchronicity and ask for more of it, and recognize, in fact, it's not our plan. It's a grand design that we're really, and as soon as you realize that we're part of the grand design and you surrender to that, then you're swept up with the current. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to learn. Yeah.
Beautiful. Surrender. Beautiful. Yeah. Surrender to the forces that are moving us and forever evolving us. You know, being in this divine moment, this is the only moment. This is the moment with all the power. You know, we can renew ourselves in this divine moment. We can change our thoughts, change our feelings, and change our life now. This is the point of power, you know, and it's beautiful. Timelines collapsing. It's so, and it's fast. It's happening very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's lovely that you say these things, but we have to understand that for some people it's hard. When you've suffered anger because someone's been killed next to you, or you've suffered loss because someone you loved has died, when you've lost everything financially and you've got nowhere to live, there's just immense despair, sadness, anger. And shifting from those emotions to the positive is actually something that needs practice. The problem is most people suppress their emotions. They refuse to accept them. They don't want to have that fear. So they just become fearless in a crazy way. Mm. You need to actually, the strange thing is to be able to move to accept intense negativity. You mustn't try and suppress or block those moments of intense sadness or despair or lack of self-esteem, because it's the intensity that helps you shift to intense opposite. So you need to be able to experience intense anger because of the gulf between that and intense love. The trick, though, is to move. If you can move from intense anger to intense love in like 30 seconds, you're doing well.
Wow.
But you've got to cut that down to 10 seconds. Then you've got to cut it down to 2 seconds. And then you've got to be able to switch just like that. You feel it, you recognize it, you address it, and then you have that way. Now, it's instant love again. And if you think about the opposite with intensities, if you're only ever mildly upset and not really that sad, The ability to become very intensely full of joy is limited. It's like when you put your hand in hot water and cold water, you really notice the difference, you know, one from the other, if there's a big difference in temperature. And that is really what we're also being taught. The intense pain, fear, despair is there to help us reach higher levels of positive intensity.
That's such
and ultimately positive love.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is such a beautiful way to look at that. That is so important.
I want to add one more thing, by the way. The aim, of course, is to be in this intense love, this ability to be connected to the divine. But by looking at these other emotions like sadness and despair and all that, if you're not able to be fully joyful or have that positive expectation or to have that peacefulness, you may be lacking in one of them, then you won't be that fully connected with love. So it teaches us to address maybe that it's self-esteem that you need, the security side. Maybe it's more joy. A lot of people, for instance, will meditate, and quite often we find actually there's not enough joy in the group.
So you
suddenly got to think, actually, I've got to increase the joy in order to increase this love.
Yes.
So there's ways we've been taught, and that's why I find that fascinating. Sorry, I wrap it on.
No, that's beautiful. Meditation and prayer are so important to... They are so important. You know, I do that every day, and I would not be here now on this earth plane without doing that for all of these years. Let's just say this, it's beautiful.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And together, that power. Tell us, Rory, about, you know, how to find, say if you wanted to, you know, get some land and make your community and everything, how do you find the sacred sites? And tell us as well, the sacred sites, when they cross together, I know that the earth has chakras. When all of them come together like they do, the nadis come together in the human body, they cause the wheels of the vortexes of the chakras, don't they? Okay. But is that the same on the earth?
Yeah, right. This is where it gets a bit controversial, some of my thinking. when you look at the chakra system across different cultures over time, I mean, the Celts had 3 chakras. You know, they were cups. They were either upside down on their edge or on the right way up. And there's some people will tell you there's 12, there's 7, there's 8 chakras. Yeah. And then you ask people what they look like and everybody gives you a different description of what they look like. There are definitely meridians that flow through us, energies flow through pathways through us. And there's definitely ways you can cause blockages, bandhas to re-divert energy. And the earth itself, the energies we know, if you're on a frequency and you're living on them for too long, you'll put up, you know, you'll find your base chakra will create a blockage and all energy will stop coming into your body. And then you end up getting chronic fatigue and chronic pain and other illnesses. So the body has this ability to control and redirect energy flow, which you'll know yourself from your yoga. These, in many ways, are also something which can be constructed and worked with us emotionally and mentally. So what we find is that the important thing is to have all the channels open. That means all the chakras are going to be open so that it can flow through. and intensely strong energies and surrendering to them can blast away any blockages quite quickly, but they can be put up quite quickly again. So when you talk about chakras, for me in the human body, there's something intangible about them. There's something about the fact that they are almost able to be put into various positions on these channels. And then there's a similar aspect to this with earth energies. You can make nodes, intersections in several places with the smaller lines. So I don't use the word things like heart chakra of the world. It doesn't seem to make any sense when you find the huge numbers of energy lines that exist and different frequencies. I mean, just to take the emperor dragons. Now we've got six emperor dragons. We don't count the north-south emperor dragon because they go through poles to poles, and that has a different sort of function to these energies, and they don't seem to node. They're more of a protective, meridian's more of a protective energy. But the other five lines cross over each other in 20 places around the world.
Wow.
Now, 13 of these places are in the oceans. So I reckon the whales have got those taped, you know. They're playing with them.
Yeah.
But the other seven are on land.
Wow.
And these are well-known places in some cases, like Mount Kailash. They are known to locals in some places as very, very powerful places, like Uluru. That's a very powerful, we call them first order nodes. So the seven first order nodes, I don't give them any names like chakras, but they're very powerful energy centers.
Yeah.
And there's one.
What about in the UK? In the UK?
There are no emperor dragons that run through the UK, but there are 12, 13 pairs of type four lines. And the most, this is where we've got to be slightly careful with regards to places as well. Mm. It's not just the location that's important. It's the prayer and meditation that goes on there. There's two things that connect to label the power of your place, or to measure the power of a place. It's not just an energy, it's human conscious connection at that energy. Now, you could argue that Mecca, for instance, which is a fourth order node, it has two pairs of type four lines crossing over there. But because it has so many people regularly praying on that site, that you could argue that has to be one of the most powerful, the most powerful place in the world.
Yes.
And yet you've got Mount Kailash, which is a first order node, and yet nobody's onto the top of Mount Kailash. So although it's pumping out a massive power, because no one's actually consciously up there meditating, it could potentially have an awful lot more power. So but if you come back to the UK, well, there are the fourth order nodes, there are quite a few. Glastonbury's one, there's one on the Isle of Wight, there's one in St. Michael's Mount, Royston, and there's maps of these, and they'll be on the sacred network site, and the locations of the fifth order, fourth, fifth, and sixth order nodes that we know about that people can gather around will be, so you'll be able to find that your nearest one and be able to run events there, and people will be able to join events that are run there, and the event organizer will mail out instructions on where you meet and that sort of. So the whole website is designed to bring people together physically for meditation in groups, as well as to arrange on-site meditation. So you can bring up connect with groups and make groups for on-site meditation, as well as discussion groups and things like that, and dream groups, vision groups. So anything that's going to help raise spiritual awareness or help people form groups. Because what we're discovering is that when a group goes on a journey together, they develop. There's something about a group that, and this is the other really strange thing is, and where we're beginning to see how group meditation is different from individual meditation. For a group to work successfully, there is a necessary individuality that is required for the better functioning of a group. So if you were all, say, six people or 12 people in a room who were exactly the same, you might have a great fun time in a party. You know, you're getting on with each other really well, but that doesn't seem to work well for group meditation. In group meditation, you almost have to have 12 different people who wouldn't normally get on. Yeah. You know, there's always a loner, for instance. There's always someone who who is much more extroverted, perhaps. And it's almost as though that the universe has designed a way for us to have to overcome our differences, fulfill our individual functions. So there are some people who are just drawn to working with vortexes. There are some who are drawn to being able to balance the energies vertically, bringing down energy, balancing it with coming up with energy. There are people we know who can anchor energy and hold it and hold space. And there's functions that we have in group meditation that can only really be understood when we connect intuitively so that we move in the eternal cycle we're on.
Wow. The eternal cycle of evolving, and it never ends. It never ends. You know, birth, death, we just go on to higher forms of existence forevermore, which is just absolutely fascinating. And
indeed.
Rory, I just want to say thank you so much for your beautiful, sacred wisdom and beautiful truth that you've given to our audience today about your sacred network. And just thank you very much for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Well, Joanne, thank you very much. As I said, though, it's an amalgamation of everybody.
Yes.
All the thoughts just come together. And so there's a lot of input from all areas that's gone into this. Certainly not myself.
But it's such a beautiful
thank you very
thing.
Much.
It's such a beautiful thing because it's showing the connection, the oneness and the connection that we're all merging into.
Yeah.
Thank
just
you.
Just allow synchronicity to happen and you'll be fine.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you.